It's Creamsicle Sunday. You're in the lounge. What's good? My name
and now, is Yuri. You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
You heard the voice. You heard the man. You heard the voice of the heavens. You are here at RBLR Sports. You are here on Creamsicle Sunday. Chris Glazier over there with that smooth hat, baby. Woo, look at you. The last time I saw you wear that, we were on screen at AEW. Your name is Chris Glazier. What's good, my guy?
Creamsicle Sundays arrive, my friend. What a time to be alive right now, right? Repping these old, amazing uniforms. And, you know, it's just some bad times back then, but the uniforms are awesome. They look really clean on the players. Looking forward to the game today. It's a beautiful day out, man, actually. This is probably one of the nicest days of the year so far. In a 4:30 primetime Bucks game, man. Ray J is going to be live. You know, Lions are coming in hot. It's going to be some good stuff today. So how are you doing today, man?
Dude, I'm doing really well because there are seasons beginning, seasons ending. Today is a huge game. Obviously the Creamsicle's got everyone hype. We love that stuff. But it's also a big test. This is a litmus test for the Bucks. So it's like the seasons are changing. The eclipse was yesterday. There's playoffs around the corner. A new season is starting for the Lightning. It's like so much emotion, so many things to go through. We're big pro wrestling guys. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the pro wrestling world. So it's like everything I'm interested in is very, very, very interesting right now. So it's been very fun. Well, with that said, we went live. We are live right now at rblrsports.com. Also on the YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to. Join the hundreds and hundreds of people who are subscribed to us on YouTube. And the thousands, literally thousands of people that are, whether it's RBLR Sports or RBLR Rays, RBLR Lightning, RBLR Rowdies, thousands and thousands of people follow us. You should too. We try to give you more of what you love every single day here at RBLR. And but on the lounge, we keep it a little chill, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, Chris. And first and foremost, let's get in. Well, wait, hold on. I gotta do one more thing. I gotta get ready for this. Hold on.
There he is.
We can't let you be the only one on Creamsicle Sunday, baby. I know it doesn't go right now, but you know what?
Fits well, my friend.
We're going to do that.
Looks great.
What's funny is, like, I don't think we planned on having the same hat, but here we are.
Here we are.
Well, we look like a team, and we're hoping the Bucks look like a team against the Detroit Lions. It is Creamsicle game, which got flexed. This game got flexed to 425. This is a marquee matchup in the National Football League. Your Buccaneers, Chris, are 3-1. They are 3-point underdogs at home because Detroit is a legitimate. Detroit's a legitimate top NFC team. They are 4-1. They are undefeated in two road games. So it's no surprise that this is. Vegas thinks it's going to be pretty close. There's a lot for the Buccaneers to prove that they are at this level. And Jared Goff's been doing great. They stuff the run on defense. So there's a lot to get into with this. The first question I'll ask you, though, Chris, is what do you expect from the Buccaneers offense in this game? What do you see as, like, one of the keys that they need to pull out the W today?
Normally I'm a run first type of guy, but I think in this type of game, I think it should be a pass heavy day. You know, the weather's going to be great outside, right? Not much wind in the air. I would think today should be a passing day here against the Lions, who are, I'm going to say, they're 17th against the pass. So middle of the pack, they're third against the rush, and we struggle to run the ball anyway. And, you know, we got to run the ball, right? You got to keep the team honest, right? But I think today, you know, let's run some spread. Let's get Baker in the shotgun, maybe some hurry up in there, get this offense going. We saw against the Saints, you know, the offense, the red zone stuff started clicking a little better there. So That's what's key for the Bucks, right? No more field goals, right? We're going to need touchdowns today, especially against a team like Detroit, who's playing really, really good football right now. To me, I think between them and the Niners, they're the two best teams in the NFC, in my opinion. I think Detroit is a very all well-rounded team, right? Good on offense, good on defense. So I think that the offense today is going to have to execute with big plays. Evans is healthy, as far as I know. Obviously, it's a hamstring injury, so that's one of those ones where it's he could be fine 1 minute, and then the next minute he's on the sideline, you know. So I would hope he's going to get, you know, maybe he gets full reps. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with the hamstring, you kind of got to play light on that. But, you know, I expect a big game from Godwin. You know, I think the bye week helped us here because – it gave guys like Clancy time to get healthy, who is going to play today. So Clancy will be on the line with Bea, which is huge as well, which we'll get to that. But I think just the team coming back healthy, that bye week helped. Obviously, we've had time to watch Detroit a little bit, you know, watch some tape, get some film. Detroit's got a really, really good team. So it's going to be crucial, obviously, not to turn the ball over today as well. So limit Baker's mistakes too. Smart plays. Get the play action going. And I think overall, get some hurry up going. I'd like to see some more hurry up. I want to see the offense, you know, get clicking, get going, get gelling a little bit more, because now Canales has had a little more time to get his playbook in there and get this, you know, some smoother offense going. So just, I like to air it out today. I want a big passing game today.
There's a lot in there that I absolutely agree with. Because here's at the end of the day, they're going to have to score, in my opinion, they're going to have to score at least three touchdowns to win this game.
Correct.
And the most that this offense has scored is 26 points. And so, I mean, that's the highest that they've done. Well, you know, they're going to have to score at least that, like, or at least 21 from touchdowns. And then who knows what else from maybe a defensive interception or a you know, field goals, things like that. The good thing about this though, is that the Lions defense gives up points. Only the Falcons haven't been able to hang at least 20 points on these guys. Now, like I said, they're 4-1, but last week Carolina hung 24 on them. The Carolina Panthers put 24 points on this team. Green Bay put 20 points on this team. Atlanta only put 6. Seattle beat them, scoring 37 points. And in week one, Kansas City gave up 20 points to them. Or they gave up 20 points to Kansas City, but that's – it's the Chiefs, and it's also week one. So, you know, whatever. But anyway – The thing that I agree with the most is that you gotta keep Baker Mayfield clean. You have to open up the playbook though. We had the bye week, and Canales has been saying that basically they don't really have the full playbook implemented, or at least they're not executing the way that it's drawn up. And you know, we keep hearing from Canales that once they get this rhythm, once something clicks, they're just waiting for that light switch to get clicked on. The words out of his mouth are, we should be scoring the 20s and 30s like the Lions are. Okay, well, we'll see. But the first key to that is keeping Mr. Mayfield clean. He has 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. It's not a lot of touchdowns, but it is a good ratio. I mean, I think we'd always take that. So where is that? Where is the opening up of the playbook? You had mentioned switching tempo, right? Going to no huddle. That's one way to do it, and you've seen some success with that in limited fits this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they could definitely do that. It's a way to shake things up, and if Mayfield can continue his pretty good run that he's on right now, all right. But it's no secret that Evans and Godwin are the weapons that the Buccaneers have on offense. And so it's time to earn that paycheck. These are the games where it's time to earn that paycheck that you want, man. So Evans back on the field, healthy. Let's go. Let's go. Godwin's and Evan. Let's go. It's time for them to break out an amazing game. But the Bucs can be one dimensional. If another thing that you brought up was establishing the run. Give me 1 second, man. I'm so choked up with this, like, because the run game is going to be very important. And if you're going to keep this a low scoring game, you're going to have to ground. Something that they have not shown they can do this year is ground and pound, right?
Right.
And that's the only way you're going to keep this low scoring is like, well, you know, Jared Goff can't score touchdowns if he's sipping Gatorade and, you know, like with his helmet off, right?
Right.
But there's still rays of hope on that, right? They gave up 99 yards of rushing last week to Carolina. And the one game they've lost, they gave up 82 yards to Seattle. So there's a little bit of a pattern emerging that, like, if you can break some runs, get, you know, keep some drives alive, get some third and ones and second and shorts and things like that going, and you, I mean, that's not rocket science. It's own the ball, run the clock, limit the possessions of the other team, and then hopefully punch in as many sixes as you can throughout the day. I mean, there you go. If it was that simple, everyone would do it. But it's very key because it might come down to one more drive that we score a touchdown than they do, one more long possession that they don't have, one more long possession keeps our defense fresh, right? So it might come down to one of those little tiny little things that is the difference in this game, because I'm hoping that it's not a shootout. And if it is, I hope that it's, you know, within one score the whole game. I hope it's very interesting. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout in one way or the other. No. So with that said, you know, it's all the inches matter. You brought up, though, that one of the big things for the Buccaneers is we're finally getting so many players back and healthy. We've had a week. It's a very early bye week, but really it came early. At a good time for us to get healthy. We've talked about Evans and his hamstring, but you brought up Kalijah Kancey. So I'm going to ask you now, what do we expect out of the Bucs defense, which has been, to this point, the strongest part of this team and the big reason if they're going to win the game, the defense is going to have to come today.
So the defense, actually, they have the number one plus turnover differential in the NFL at +7. So that's a big key. That's a big key for the Bucs right there, right? When you're looking at that, you know, the blitzes from Winfield causing the fumbles, you know, you got to keep doing those things. It's working. I don't think, you know, one thing that frustrates me with the defense is the whole 10 yards off and giving a cushion. I think we need to run a little more press coverage in there. It's going to backfire on us at some point, right? The bend but don't break has worked so far, but eventually you're going to break at some point. So I think, you know, I think a little more pressure, a little more press coverage here, maybe make some zone in there. And I say keep blitzing, right? You're going to have Kancey back now with Bea on the line. So those two together now, that's going to be hard to stop. So they're going to have to pick up some double teams on them. So that should get you a free runner at the quarterback, I would hope, here and there. So get after Goff, right? Get after Goff. Send Winfield on those blitzes. JTS, still hit or miss. He's had one good game this year. I'm still looking for a little more from him. Shaq's played really, really well so far this year. I want to see a better game from him this week, though. The defense looked really good against the Saints, right? We pretty much shut the Saints down. We didn't talk about that much because we had the bye week last week. But the defense looked much improved against the Saints. And this is a big, big game for this defense. Don't let Goff get going, because he's been really good since he's been on Detroit. He's been very accurate. He throws the ball a lot of pass attempts in the game from the Lions. They will throw the ball a lot. So it's going to come down to pressuring Goff and how Bea and Kancey can do just by themselves, you know, stopping the run, right? The Bucs are 10th in the league in the run right now. Usually we're a top five team. So we've given up some yards. So hopefully having Kancey back now will help eliminate that and help the run defense up front. So I say pressure Goff in this game, man. Bring the blitzes. Don't be afraid. And you know, run some press coverage up there on those wide receivers.
Yeah, I've got some good numbers to back up those points, because, I mean, it's like we shared notes with each other before, which we didn't. But because what I expect is the Lions offense is the fourth highest scoring in the NFL. They score 29.6 points per game. Our offense has not scored more than 27 this entire they scored 28 points as a team, but one of those was a interception,
right?
Return for a touchdown. So, I mean, 20 to 26 has been the ceiling. Well, you're going to need to score at least 30 on average to beat the Lions. So, however, the good news is that the Bucs have only given up more than 20 points one time this season, and that's to Philadelphia, right? You had it perfectly that Jared Goff is the key to this game. He cannot go off. Not only do they throw the ball a lot, they throw for 8 yards an attempt, which is the third most. It's tied for third most in the NFL. This is their engine that goes. And Goff is completing. Not only are they throwing a lot and they're throwing far, they're completing almost 70% of the passes. So it's like it's an efficient, well-run, high-octane offense that Jared Goff is – in the he's finally hitting his stride, right? Number one draft pick overall, given up by the Rams, and it was like a good move because they won the championship. But yeah. Now Goff is like change of scenery. He's been there for a few years now. We're finally reaping the benefits of Detroit, you know, planting those seeds a few years ago. But how do we beat him? Number one, again, if the Bucs can't stop the run, this will be the game that like Jared Goff doesn't have to throw for 300 something yards. So we cannot let Montgomery hit a home run. He had 109 yards last week, but 42 of those were one long home run. Okay. So you can't let Montgomery find an edge and run long. You have to make them almost zero dimensional this game. Like they want to pass. Let's make them pass. At least we know what they'll do in those situations. We've seen more of that than if they're just able to pound the rock. What are we going to do? then we won't have enough opportunities to manage versus their scoring. Then they don't have to score 30 points if they have the rock and they score 21, 22, and we've had trouble doing that. Well, like you said, pressure, pressure, pressure. Jared Goff's only been sacked 7 times this entire year. And that's why he's only thrown 2 interceptions. Like you said, Kalijah Kansi, huge return. And I know he's a rookie and everything, but like he's a difference maker on this defense. And there's a reason they went and got him so early in the draft is because they want to pair him with Vita Vea. They want to cause that the havoc so that they can blitz and create these offensive woes through defensive confusion. We're able to throw the blitzes that we want. We're able to be as aggressive as we want, but that all happens if the front four are able to do their job. But kind of some tangential X factor stuff is that the Detroit Lions are absolutely beat up, and I'm hoping that there's some rust. They have a lot of injuries. They're returning. Their number one wide receiver is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was out last week. I mean, he's been their number one receiver of this great offense. I'm hoping that there's some rust there and that our secondary is going to be able to come up big against them. But there are not a lot of injuries in the secondary, right? We're coming back. We're hoping that our rust isn't there. Because if we can stop Amon St. Ra, their depth pieces can be managed. We can't let Josh Reynolds go off like he did last week. He had 4 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown last week. But he was the number one target. Now he's the number two target, and we have to keep him down. So if you get in Goff's face, if you throw him on the ground a few times, you got that creamsicle crowd going crazy, you know, you're creating some havoc and you're hopefully creating some turnovers like we've been able to do this entire season. If we're able to play our game against a high octane offense, good defenses always beat great offenses. You know, in the playoffs, that's a big thing that we've seen. And we might be able to pull out what should be an upset. I mean, it's only 3 points, but I think it's an upset if the Lions lose to the Buccaneers. Before we get to score predictions, though, on that note, Chris, what's the big headline of tomorrow if the Buccaneers are able to beat the Lions? What does it say on the Tampa Bay Times? Right?
Oh, man, creamsicles are back, baby. You know, I hope it's something along those lines, you know, changing uniforms back because we beat the Lions, you know, something fun like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's a statement is made. If especially if they can emphatically win this game, they've lost their one. Because this is still my problem, is that they've beat the teams that are not good. And that's good. Good teams beat bad teams.
Right.
My expectations were very low on this team coming into this. But at the bye week, they're 3-1. Their record is who they are. They did beat the bad teams. And the one good team, like by all measure, they looked bad against, you know. So it wasn't disheartening, but it is like, okay, we know their place isn't up here. It's like right here, not down here like I thought, but it is here. Now you're playing another, you get another crack at a team that should be on a higher level than you. Or are they, right? Now they have the chance to prove that. So to me, that is the statement is made. If they can emphatically beat this team, and even if they stay close to them and win very closely, I think that's a huge morale booster for the rest of this locker room. It's a huge morale for the rest of the year. And it gives the Buccaneers fans, the crew, something to actually be kind of cocky about. Like, man, yeah. They didn't. I'm one of the people that did not believe in this team as it was constructed, and the defense has shown that they're dragging this team to victories now. Man, if that offense can make a statement, if that offense can click finally, that would be magical, baby. Chris, what is your prediction on Creamsicle Sunday, buddy?
This is going to be a fun one, man. I'm looking forward to this game. This is a big, big game inside of Raymond James Stadium. Creamsicle is going to be live. We still got to play Buffalo this year. We mm-hmm. still got to play Tennessee this year. We got mm-hmm. some tough games. We still got to play San Fran this year. So mm-hmm. we got to win this game. So I got the Bucs with the upset special of the week here at home, 24-21.
Let's go.
I liked what I saw from the offense against the Saints. It was improved. The defense has been consistent all year. I think the defense shows up today. We're healthy. It's going to be in front of a live crowd. Why not pull up the upset? Why not today, right? If it was in Detroit, I'd probably give this to Detroit. Vegas thinks it's close. 3-point game, right? I think the Bucs get 24 today. I hope we can get more, but I think the defense does enough just to hold the Lions, right? Bend but don't break still, but we're going to have to score touchdowns today. I hope we can score more than 24, but I think we pull it off with a – I think it's close all game. I think this is going to be a really tight contested matchup, blow for blow, maybe a couple of defensive stands, probably a tie game at halftime, and then fourth quarter, you know, we get that. Baker picks it up with some clutch performance at the end, some big scramble. I'm calling a big run from Baker today on a third and something. He'll put his body on the line. Hey, you know, Baker's going to bake today in that creamsicle uniform. So go Bucks, 24-21. Bucks take the win today. What about you, man?
I'm actually more optimistic about this game than I thought I would have been a couple weeks ago. I've laid it all out with what I said. And so, Chris, strategically, I'm going with the reverse jinx. I am very optimistic, but I'm going to put it on record. The Bucs are going to lose 27-24, right? 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 Right?
Right.
I hope I'm wrong, but they still have to prove it, man. Until they prove it. I can't go over that line all the way. I can't honestly tell you that I think we're going to just overpower these guys and get it going. It's a razor thin margin, man. And right now, until they prove that they can unlock this offense, until they prove that the defense, I mean, the defense is not my problem, but they're playing a good offense that's going to score points. Okay.
Right.
And again, it's a 3-point loss. That's not, and it's a 3-point loss to a great team or a good team so far. That's not I'm not disheartened by that if this is true. But until they prove me wrong again, which I hope they do, I still think they're just that offensively they're in that lower tier. But you know, don't go to the bank, don't go to Vegas, don't take my 27-24 loss to heart or anything, because you know, if you bet against me, you're probably going to win if you just do the opposite of everything I say. But I'm hoping that, Chris, you can make me some money with your bets of the week. I hope that this is something that we can take to the bank. And so Chris, what should we put a unit down on today?
Man, the NFL's been it's been rough this year. There's been some hit and miss games. It's been so-so, right? So yeah. I got the Bengals today, money line. They've screwed me on the parlay or the spread all year long. I'm riding the money line this year at home against Seattle. The Bengals got to win, man. This is a must win if they want to keep up with in the AFC North, right? I'm not taking them on the spread anymore. They're 0-3 for me on the spread. I'm going to ride the money line. And then I'm going to go with the Texans as well with the upset at home. Texans look good, man. They're not CJ Stroud's not turning that ball over. They look like a well-coached team with D'Amico Ryans there. So I think the Texans pull it off today. And then I got the Chargers at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Chargers off a bye. Hopefully they're healthy. Chargers are a good, good team. They're a lot of people are sleeping on the Chargers, but if they're a couple scores away from being undefeated right now. That Herbert and that offense and Dak just does not look good for Dallas. Dallas lost to Arizona. I think the Chargers need a big win like this today. So I got the Chargers to win. Bengals money line, Texans plus 1.5. Lock it in, whatever you play on. Hopefully it hits today.
Well, we talked football. Chris, now I want to hear from you about another sport that you love so much, and that is that the Lightning are back, baby. No more preseason stuff. We have two games under the belt for the Bolts. The opening night, though, was Tuesday. Then they had a weird 3 or 4 days off until they had to go to Detroit, and now they're on a back-to-back on the weekend. So it's like it's just a weird schedule to begin. But what have you seen out of the Lightning so far in the first couple games?
Obviously, last night was a little bit of a rougher patch. You know, the thing is with Vasi being out for this extended amount of time, right, what are the Lightning going to have to do? We're going to have to just outscore people, right? That's just what it's going to have to come down to, right? We're going to have to hope that Johansson has a couple big games for us, but we're going to have to score probably 4 goals a game, maybe 5, unless the defense really, really shows up. And the defense has been leaky already 2 games in. And the guys in RBL Lightning talked about it. The defense was leak even in the preseason games, right? Yeah. So, you know, the defense we definitely got to start blocking more shots. You know, stay out of the penalty box. We always talk about that. Lightning taking dumb penalties at the wrong time sometimes. And obviously with the new moves we made, it's going to take some time. So it's only 2 games in. I wish it was more. Obviously we looked solid at home versus the Predators. First goal was scored by Kucherov, which was great. It was a great shot by him. Kucherov seems to be back already this year, you know, playing at a high level already. Stamkos looked really good last night against Detroit. Yes. Even though we lost, he looked amazing last night. He wanted to win that game last night. And I think the Lightning don't lapse on defense. I think we have that game. Honestly, we didn't look terrible, just made some dumb mistakes at the wrong time. And It was costly ones, right? And it was ones Johansson wasn't going to save. Maybe, sure, you could say would Vasi have saved it? Sure, you could say that. But you're never going to know, right? So I think, you know, we're 1-1. That's probably where we should be right now. It's still early in the season to make any kind of crazy conclusions or jump to anything like, oh, man, we suck or what's going on. You know, we're going to lose every game without Vasilevsky. That's not the case. This team still has its core players. Your core players are going to show up for you and lead this team. The locker room presence is still good, right? Yeah. But the bottom six are going to have to get going as well soon, too. So this bottom six, these guys with these new lines, you know, Pat Maroon and all them are gone now. These new guys, you know, Essiamont and all them got to get it going on the bottom six. So I think you know, it's going to take some time to get things going. But I think as long as we hang around the 500 level before the time Vasi's back, I think we'll be fine. I'd like not to drop too far down in the loss column, but it's an optimistic outlook.
Yeah, a lot of turnovers, unfortunately, last night, and it's early days. We'll see what goes. I think you're right on the nail, nail right on the head, where it's like, look, we need good, at least good defense in front of the goaltending, because look, they're going to do their best, but obviously you're missing a Hall of Fame goaltender, so. You're trying to keep that down. Shout out to everyone here live. Bucks race Bolts with the – it came in. Well, we already talked Bucks, but we're on the same page. It's possible. It's possible.
I think they win.
Make sure you rewind. We are live right now, but, you know, you can always write this. But Chris predicted a win for the Bucks, and I predicted a slight 27-24 loss. But, very optimistic about that. The other thing I'm optimistic about, we talked about the Lightning and we talked about the Buccaneers. Let me go back into my mode, because there's another team in the playoffs right now. Playoffs right now, baby. And that, of course, are my Tampa Bay Rowdies. And so if you're not familiar, we have a pro soccer team. They're called the Tampa Bay Rowdies. They've been around in the 70s and now. We've won 2 championships, so Tampa Bay is still intact, baby. And they get to start their run on a third star this week. They're second in the entire Eastern Conference, third best team in the entire league. And, you know, we've been talking about the Bucks getting healthy and the Lightning hopefully getting back. The Rowdies have had their own troubles with health. And now they're finally back to health. Last year's MVP of the entire league, Leo Fernandez, is finally back on the pitch after being ruled out the entire season in preseason. He didn't even play a single game until the last two games of the season. So, you know, a little Kucherov type thing with Leo being back in the playoffs. But who did they replace? Not replace him with, but one of the people they brought in was Cal Jennings, who was the second leading scorer in the entire league. He's an exciting. The thing about the Rowdies is they play a very exciting brand of soccer. It isn't just sit back on defense, hope you score on the counterattack. They want to own the ball. They want to put it in the back of the net. Well, Cal Jennings did that. He got two goals in one game last night over a rival in Louisville City on the road as they got a dub to end the season. But this week, this Saturday at Al Lang Stadium, which is in St. Petersburg, Florida, they play Birmingham Legion, who is a team that we've played twice this year. We lost both of those times. They beat us super early in the season, like the fourth game of the season here at home. And they played us really hard on the road in a 1-0 road loss. Look, they're in the playoffs. They've got a good team too. They've got a really good scoring threat in Enzo Martinez, if that's a guy you Google. And then they have a veteran goalkeeper in Matt Van Okel, who has played in Detroit City and now in Birmingham. And it's, he's always a tough out, but for as much as they play us that hard, the Rowdies are far better. They are the far better team. They should pull out the victory in the first round. There'll be way more insight over at RBLR Rowdies, which we do every single week right here at RBLR Sports on the YouTube. And then, of course, on every single platform. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. We're on the Threads. You name it, we're there. Wherever you want more of what you love, we got you. So I'm excited, man. Look, Al Lang is a magical place to go. It's going to be a sellout for the playoffs. It holds about 7,500 people. And when that thing is rocking and the smoke is going off and the flags are flying and the drums are being drummed, there's no better place in the world, brother. So I, as I'm being a PR for the team right now, I'm like, go, if you want that feeling of the playoffs and the intensity, get your butt down to Al Lang this Saturday. Cause the Rowdies, they play a really good style of soccer, and it's just a hell of a time. What else is a hell of a time is as we get over here, as I do this the wrong way here, let's open some sports cards. Let's get out of here. We're gonna have some fun. We do some fun things on the lounge. I'm gonna open up some as baseball season's over. So it's my last attempt to get rid of some sports cards here. As my kid is going crazy in the background here, he doesn't like that baseball's over. But maybe there'll be a sports card in here that'll pay for his entire college fund, right?
No one liked how baseball ended for the Rays. So.
Well, man, look, the playoffs are a crapshoot, buddy. Like, this is what sucks, dude, about baseball is like you win 99 games, and the Rays, right? They had more injuries. Their entire injury list would have been like would have probably won 65 to 75 games by itself in the league. You get into a two, you know, three game series and you have two bad games. What are you going to do about it? You know, but let's see if we could pull something out of here. We got Ashcroft rookie, Mookie Betts, Rio Muto, Zach Thompson rookie, Chris Bryant, Tanner Rainey, Bobby Witt Jr. rookie gold cup, Ashby, Keller, Perez, Casas, Cordero, Goldschmidt, hell of a first baseman there. Gunnar Henderson, man, what a hell of a rookie season he's had. Dean Kramer, J-Rod, Gavin Lux, Dominic Leone, Jesse Winkler, Caleb Killian, rookie, Dodgers, Nationals, little league leaders. Arez, Josh Donaldson, Trevor Story. Not a, man, okay, now we're getting, okay, here we go. Here is a blue variant of Brad Keller, an Aaron Judge. Little parallel there.
Yeah.
That's worth a couple bucks, right? We like that. Mike Trout stars at MLB. Francisco Lindor. Yeah. Adley Rutschman rookie. Julio Rodriguez. Here's a Mike Schmidt. 35th anniversary, 1989. Style back here. Pretty cool. Now, I love this set. This is the All Aces.
Scherzer.
Yeah, and you got Max Scherzer there.
Pretty sure he said he's going to come back, too.
I'm hoping. I think the Rays one in that is McClanahan, and they have one of every team, and so McClanahan's one of those. Austin Meadows, Christian Vasquez, Dylan Bundy, Gary Sanchez, Trent Grisham, Byron Buxton, Jose Ramirez, Sonny Gray, Duran, Rodon, Mountcastle, Mike Yaz, Steel Walker rookie, Tim Anderson, G-Man Choi. Oh, man. What a fan favorite. Love that dude.
Yep.
Hunter Brown, Brandon Drury, Nathaniel Lau. Shout out to him and Josh Lau's mom. We're hoping that she recovers really, really well. But it's always fun, like, when the mom showed up and had the half jerseys and the half, bedazzled. It was great.
Yeah.
CJ Crone, Bryce Harper, what a hell of a postseason he's having.
Dude's a stud.
Encarnacion, Ian Anderson, Milo Duval, Max Castillo, Patrick Wisdom, Yadi Molina. I think this is his last ever baseball card as he trots off into a Hall of Fame ending. My man, I'm a big Cardinals fan too, so it's like, my man, Yadi. That's for the personal. JJ, Kendall, and then our last one is Corey Seager. So, again, you know, a few rookies. The Gunnar Henderson makes me very happy about that. The Aaron Judge, that's a, you know, couple bucks.
I think he pulled another Gunnar Henderson a couple weeks ago, too.
Yeah, man. He's one of the good rookies out of the first. What I don't remember is if there's any rookies in this, which is 2022 Panini Prism debut edition for the WWE, which there might be some AEW guys in these packs.
Hopefully there's an Edge in there.
Well, you know, so they always do legends, so even if like he wasn't back. So we've done some old school WWE on the channel.
I think so.
Maybe not here in the lounge, but on the channel I break these out on our worthless sports card breaks. So here's Panini Prism. It's like Topps Chrome. Here's Randy Orton with the RKO. Joe Coffey of NXT UK. They did nothing with him after that. Carmella, who just she just had a baby or just about to have a baby.
There's some interesting cards.
A Kid from, this is NXT UK rookie card. Apollo Crews, man, there's a dude that like had Scott. I mean, sky high, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of thing.
Limitations.
When we went to Raw, my wife and I, a few weeks ago, when it was here in Amalie Arena, you know, he made a surprise return on one of their taped main event shows or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, this dude just could never find a character.
Mm-mm.
I actually believe when he's in these tights, he was like with a Nigerian accent and just like, carrying a spear to the ring, and it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's his pitched idea or if that's something Vince gave him, but like they just could never find a way to get an athletic, you know, good looking dude to over in their company. I don't know what he would have done in AEW or if he ever comes to AEW, but you know, here's a dude.
Hell Stone yeah.
Well, goddamn, son. Toast Cold Steve Austin.
That's old school Kane too.
Yeah, this is old school Kane. Look at that.
As in Kane was his best.
Joe Gacy. Now this is a dude that's got some potential. He's got a little bit of Bray Wyatt in him. I've seen Joe Gacy when he was still on the Florida circuit in Evolve, and you know, wearing a mask and kind of doing some spooky stuff. And like he's always, There, I mean, his gimmick now is like he's the leader of like a kind of a cult or kind of a weird hippie commune kind of thing. So there's, you know, like I said, look, unfortunately, I think he'll always have those comparisons if he does a gimmick like that to Bray Wyatt. But he's got his own little niche. I think he can do something with that. Here's Bailey, heel Bailey, actually. Ding dong, hello. Indy Hartwell, which I'm surprised this isn't a rookie card, but she's another person that they a little bit of start stop booking with her, but I mean she's tall, she's got a good look to it, very athletic, and they just have to find the right character for her. Here's a Santos Escobar, one of my favorite dudes in WWE. This guy, El Hijo del Fantasma, on the independence and in the Lucha Libre scene. I mean, he's a third or fourth or whatever generation wrestler. I mean, wrestling's in his blood. This dude just oozes charisma. I mean, he's great in the ring. He's a good looking dude. Like he's got all the tools. He speaks English pretty well. So it's just, you know, how does creative how do you, here's all the tools in a dude now, you know,
make it work
correctly. But yeah, dig in the Santos Escobar. Here's a different, like a red, white, and blue. I don't know if these are numbered. No, these aren't. But like Robert Roode, solid vet in the game. Austin Theory. This is another dude that I saw grow, you know, coming through the Evolve independent scene back in the day. And now man, they gave him the push. It's just that he's not connecting, in my opinion, with people. Wild Boar. Now, dude, I'm gonna have to know if they gave him a different gimmick. Let's see. The Hunt, Primate, and Wild Boar, man. That's one of the NXT UK things. I have no idea. And I don't remember if he's changed his gimmick into something different.
Wow.
Here we go. Prismatic Entrances, Carmella. What can you say about Carmella? She's got a look. She's got a good gimmick where like she's kind of an old school diva, you know, so it's like it's easy to hate her as a heel. She's done great work as a babyface with the R-Truth stuff years ago. And again, I just hope that she's having a great time with that baby. Our last, I don't think this is a numbered card either, but the Demon Finn Balor in the Fearless. Gotta love it. I mean, he's only lost a few matches as the Demon. Is there some? Oh, no, I got it right off. Boom. There you go. Look at that. Well, there you go, man. Well, that will do it for our worthless sports cards. You know, nothing too crazy. Again, nothing's going to make us $1 million, but a lot of cool stuff in here that I know some of the kids in the neighborhood are going to love when I sure. give these out to them and stuff. So, well, that was our worthless sports cards of the week. And here we go, man. Well, we talked a little bit about some WWE guys, but I think we both have some AEW guys that we're going to hand out some awards to. So, Chris Glazier, who is your pro wrestler of the week?
And I'm going to get the name right here and say Adam Copeland, not Ooh. The old E name that he used in that other company, you know. big showing up for him, man. This is cool, you know, right? It was fun being able to see him come back, and we kind of talked about it, like, was it going to happen? And it did. You know, that's why they made that main event definitely Christian and Darby, so that Edge could make his return, or Adam Copeland could make his return to the ring. And I thought it was really cool, man. It looks like he's already having a good time. I listened to a little bit of Talk Is Jericho, and he was on there with yes. Jericho, and he seemed yeah. like, just like, you know, being able to do all this, it just feels like, he's coming here to have fun, right? And end his career on the right way, which is what's most important for guys like him, who are Hall of Famers, who have put their bodies on the line for us to watch and enjoy and cheer and boo and whatever you want to do. You know, he's had awesome heel runs. He's had awesome face runs. He's going to be obviously like an all-time Hall of Famer, you know, and him and Jericho now together here, and just it's good for AEW and get these younger guys. You know, people yeah. say, oh, AEW is full of all these old WWE guys. So what does it matter? Doesn't matter who's where, like, right there.
He works in AEW. He's an AEW. Yeah, right now. I mean, here we go.
It doesn't matter. Right. As long as he's having a good time, they're putting on a good show. That's what matters at the end. So, Shout out to Adam Klopend. I'm glad he's in AEW. I think there's plenty of stories they can do with him. He talked about plenty of guys he wants to wrestle and hopes to wrestle. So if it's any of those guys he talked about, it's going to be some good stuff coming up in the future here.
Solid, man. We'll talk about former WWE guys or whatever, or guys that they really didn't do much with. My pro wrestler of the week is, I named a pro wrestler of the week a couple weeks ago, and that's Swerve Strickland, man. Look, here is something. Sometimes those ex-WWE guys, they come over to AEW, and that's been a little bit of a criticism, is like, well, you haven't really done much like with these guys. Like, Chris Jericho is Chris Jericho. He's already established. Adam Copeland's already established. We'll see what happens with that. And he's feuding with Christian, who's already established. Swerve Strickland's a guy that probably should have came to AEW in the beginning. I believe that was an opportunity, and he didn't. He went to WWE. They put him in NXT, which was the brand against AEW at the time. And, you know, they moved him up to the main roster, didn't really do much with him. He kind of floated around doing nothing. So he took the opportunity to come to AEW, but he's not coming in as a super established Hall of Fame level star. He had to start from the bottom. And there's been some good criticism from about Tony Khan's booking of Swerve Strickland. We live in the era right now where Swerve's getting the push that we all wanted. He's got the rocket strapped to him. They're putting him in the ring with the Hangman Adam Pages and the Bryan Danielsons. And it's time for him to see what he's got. And the crowd loves it. He's in the best character he's ever been. He's doing the best work that he's ever done, especially in AEW. And I think he's completely knocking it out of the park. I think that Swerve Strickland is a unique talent for AEW. He's a unique voice. He hits a different flavor of ice cream, right? You know, like, he brings things to the table with his tool set that he can make any of these amazing wrestlers look even better. He can have good matches. He'll have a great, like they've just touched the surface with what he can do with Nick Wayne, with Darby Allin, guys that he wants to have great matches with, in my opinion, because he's already done that stuff in Defy. And now they're just like bringing it to AEW. And it's like something that we have probably never seen before, unless you watch Defy, if you watch like that, you know, Pacific Northwest Wrestling. And it's working, and it's so good. Swerve's just, and even the little accoutrements, they finally have the right pieces around him. Like, not that he needed it, but they kind of threw the two big tattooed white guys with him, and like, that was a flop from the beginning. Then it was like, oh, he's part of this faction. Then he bought this other faction, and now, but it's like, it's finally clicking. Like, it's everything around him makes him look better. He's making every other piece look better. He's making his opponents look better. And everyone's making money. Everyone's looking good. So Swerve Strickland, whose house?
Swerve's house. His match with OC was amazing too. That match.
I didn't even bring up Orange Cassidy's stuff with him, dude.
Yeah, dude. Their match was banger.
Right. And that's future stuff. Not that Swerve's not the youngest guy in the world, but like, that's next generation. Once we don't have the Copelands and the Hardys and the Christians and the, you know, I mean, even Omegas and stuff that aren't going to be around that much longer, in my opinion, you only got maybe like 5 or 6 more years of that. You know, this is when it's going to be Swerve's on top, Hangman's on top, OC on top, Darby on top, you know, Guevara on top, MJF on top. Swerve can fit with all of those dudes as a face or a heel, but right now he's killing it as a heel. Well, before we get out of here, we got a couple more minutes to go. Let's talk one big pro wrestling topic that you want to talk about, because there's so much that happens every week. What's one big thing that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
So I think it's a little interesting, you know, what they're doing here with this MJF situation, right? You know, obviously Cole was really hurt. We don't know how much of it's kayfabe and what's, you know, I'm sure he's really hurt, but now we don't know if it's going to be carried on or if it's, now they're obviously adding it into the story. And then obviously you had the masked person attack Switchblade backstage, which they haven't really talked about since it happened, maybe a little bit, but so I don't know if they're trying to fade away from that. And it's going to be like one of those things, they're going to figure out where they go when that time comes up, or because obviously obviously you've already set the main event for Full Gear, so you know MJF's not going to wrestle much between now and then. He probably won't even have a match. I'd be surprised. Maybe a tag match, maybe something. But and then obviously you got your elevating Switchblade right now, who's on TV almost every week, getting the time to shine, getting his matches, building him up to take on, you know, MJF, who is obviously AEW's biggest star right now.
And yes.
Totally over with the crowd, right? Like,
yes.
So this is, this storyline to me is very interesting now with Cole being hurt, because they still have the Ring of Honor tag belts, you know, so what are they going to do with those? Is it not going to be defended? Is it going to be defended? You know, who was in the mask? Is, you know, are we going to go back to that? So I think there's just a lot going on right now. And I think it's definitely very interesting, because I'm definitely tuning in more now every week to see, you know, where is the storyline going? You know, they're doing the goofy stuff with Cole and Roddy, where he's Adam and he's, you know, it in Cole's face and he's getting frustrated, but it's funny comedy stuff, right? It's working. Yeah. So it's interesting. Sure. I'll be interested to see, you know, where this goes.
Yeah. With that. So we've talked off air about a couple possibilities. I think that the first thought is that it's, well, I guess my first thought was that I still think there's an Adam Cole MJF split that happens at some point.
Gotta be.
And I think they had a plan. I think that plan was that it was going to be Adam Cole, and in my opinion, it'd be the Kingdom. Adam Cole's reformed the Kingdom, or he's the leader of the Kingdom, and you have Strong and Cole and Taven and Kanellis and Bennett, and but there was a fifth guy or something like that. I can't remember how many people there. I think we were five. So there would have been maybe Kyle O'Reilly, but we don't know his health situation right now. So it would have been a way to debut a top level heel faction whenever you wanted to. And you could keep some mystery in it. But Cole getting hurt again, unfortunately, I think they still ran with it, but I think they're changing the direction. The second option that I thought was La Faction and Gobernable, just because you can add a couple dudes, like even if they, when they re-debut this faction, which the last time we saw them, they were like killing the Mexican cartel or something, like they were in Mexico beating up dudes. And now we like haven't seen them in 3 weeks, 4 weeks or something like that. So it's like, it, maybe that was a way to elevate a brand new heel faction. But you brought up something off air that maybe we could talk about on air. There's a guy we haven't seen in a while too, and that's Jungle Boy. How do you have Jungle Boy? I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying you have to like, okay, prove it to me, but like if it's Jungle Boy, how does that get thrown in? What's a fantasy booking thing there? Because he was like a skinny dude, right? The guy with the mask was sort of like a skinnier person, right?
It looked like he was smaller, and I was trying to think of like, okay, who hasn't been on in a while, right? Well, Jungle Boy's been out because of his, you know, quote-unquote ordeal with CM Punk, who's no longer around anymore. Yeah. So it's like, what can you do with Jungle Boy now to maybe bring him back with not that, without him bringing that around with him, right? Like, you don't want to remember, oh, it's Jungle Boy, the guy that got into it with CM Punk and blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you bring him back with a big, like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming, and boom, it's him, right? Yes. So I don't necessarily know where you'd go if it was him, because he was one of the pillars, right?
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe you come back and he wants his shot, or but he was heel when he left. And MJF, Maybe, I don't know, because you got to think, because MJF's technically face right now, right?
He was
heel, and then they kind of just did it, right? Because the crowd was digging it. They never said
they've leaned into it 100%.
So maybe it is Perry coming back and inserting himself somehow, some way, trying to mangle himself up in this. Because it's like, where do you go with Jack Perry? Where does he come back in this, right? It's not just gonna be like Jack Perry has a match tonight versus, right? You'd think you'd want him to have some kind of a surprise, like, oh, he's here, or no one expected that type
of thing. Well, yeah, pulling off that mask would be like, whoa, Jungle Boy's back.
Right,
and now, what the hell? And he's inserted in the top spot. You know, like, okay. Well, and the other thing, too, is in that scenario, Jay White sort of becomes the fate. I mean, he's like, I would never change his character. I would just keep doing what he does. But, like, the Bang Bang Gang, the Bullet Club Gold, they're All things aside, with bad booking that they should not have done on Dynamite this week, with the quarters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People like to hate them. Like, they're cool. Like, Jay White is a cool heel, right? Jay White is, he's smarmy, but like, he's like, we want to boo him. He's a cool heel, right? And so there's a way that, you know, but Jack Perry definitely is like a heel. We do not, I mean, we like to hate him, but we hate him. Like, we don't, he's not like, man, he's so cool with that leather jacket and his promos are so funny. It's no, like, dude, F you, dude. Like, he has that good heat. And he's building upon it. And so that'd be a way that you could say, okay, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not as bad as Jungle Boy. And so Jungle Boy jumped me because I was getting a title shot that he wanted or something. Right.
Right.
So yeah, so I get it. But there was another story that they're weaving in with this Adam Cole as he's gone. They're keeping him fresh with these little vignettes, at Roderick Strong's house. But there's a Max Caster running around kind of in his own world now. Even Billy Gunn was like, what is your hang up with this guy, dude? Like, yeah. You're just going to tell us that we're, you know, just offer up our services to help you out? Like, why do we do that? And Max Caster is like, they're leaning into this gimmick that he's had on Twitter for years. There's this long, years long storyline of Max Caster sort of having this weird sexual tension with MJF and like making all these comments. And like every time MJF puts out a picture, he's commenting like, oh, daddy likes and stuff like that, you know, like just weird stuff. And they're leaning into it now on screen. Could Max Caster in some form of fashion, I'm not saying the Acclaimed are also, but maybe Max Caster is forming his own group away from the Acclaimed, which, let's face it, they're sort of losing their steam, or they've lost their steam. They're still cool, but like, I think the gas is running out on the Acclaimed's run right here. Is it time to pull the plug on the Acclaimed, make Max Caster a heel, turn Bowens completely face and into a singles competitor, and kickstart a brand new faction that Max Caster is the leader of when he reveals that it's been him all along under the mask, MJF's mask that he stole from the locker room?
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Possible. Interesting.
Okay, if you have Max Caster as the leader of a group, who would you have under that group?
Oh, man. I feel like you could, well, you know what sucks is, I was going to say, like, you could do something with, like, Private Party, which I thought would be cool, but they're not even... I mean, I don't know where Isaiah is. If he's, I don't know. Yeah. Isaiah and Quinn's been hurt, right? And Isaiah's
One of them's always hurt, man. It sucks.
Yeah, I think that would be cool if somehow they could tie, or Top Flight. Top Flight's, like, I loved Top Flight.
One of the dudes is hurt in there, so you know maybe there's like AR Fox is running around somewhere.
Could be.
You know.
Could be.
One of the other Top Flight guy that didn't break his ankle. He's running around. You got Lee Moriarty is running around. Like, there's a bunch of dudes that you could sort of put together. If you wanted to do a fact. Now, again, I'm not saying let's just put all the black guys together, but like, they have a handful of energetic, like young, youthful guy. Like, man, if you had AR Fox as your vet, then you have Lee Moriarty and one of like Action Andretti. One of the top, the other type flight, man, I can't remember his name, but like either Dante or Darius.
Yeah.
There's the factory guys, like, but Komuroto's really big. You would have seen him, but like, there's a bunch of guys that they could maybe pull up from Ring of Honor. Plus like the JAS is sort of imploding. Maybe there's something you can do there. You have like 2.0 with a Max Caster, but they don't really need a mouthpiece. I would have said Big Bill would have been a really good mix with Max Caster, but they put him with Ricky Starks. You know, you kind of have Max Caster in that, like, I'm the mouthpiece role with Big Bill as the heater. Right. You know, they could have done some damage. There's a lot of different ways, but let's not, just I'm saying, put a pin in Max Caster being the man behind whatever This right. is because of his infatuation with MJF. So there's a lot of things that they could do there. But, man, I think we've come to the end of our road. And so it's a good time for me to say thank you for listening to our. It's a big Bucks week. It's a big Lightning week. It's a big Rowdies week, baby. It's a big week for Tampa Bay. So like and subscribe to us here at RBLR Sports. Hit that button. For Chris Glazier, my name is Eureka Wheeler. We are RBLR Sports. Have a great weekend, guys. Let's go, Tampa Bay.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.